Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:04 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan, Douglas Elvin Vaughn, the Plow Iggy Monster. In the studios here as well to Gateway Buick GMC Studios. The Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air Heating and Cooling has over 75 HVAC technicians, so they always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Ben Fredrickson with us on the Cardinals weekend that was, and TJ Moe coming up on the Missouri weekend that was. Missouri defeating Auburn by a score.
Wasn't that bad?
10-9 was the final.
11-9. It's close. Yeah. I blame the officials. I think Mizzou probably had that win if the Zebras, you know, hadn't made several horrific calls.
Good for you.
Yeah. I don't know what they're looking at.
We welcome people to get involved anytime they want. I know a number of people really want to call in. 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. The issue I have here, because Doug, as you can see, what? We're in the podcast studio. Now there's a new computer monitor. I haven't really seen a desktop monitor in years, but there's a new computer. Is this new? Nurse? Nancy? Chasey?
That's what we like to call our call screen, Tim.
Oh, but I don't have the call shoot 'em up
buttons.
Somebody calls in and they're about to say, I want to do this to Doug's ass. What? I would normally...
do the quote pot them down.
All right. So you're in control. Setter.
Yes. So if you want to go, hey, we can go to Mike Lee on line two, which we always do.
Yeah.
I can pot up Mike Lee. And when he does harass you, which he always does, I can drop him.
You'll be able to pot him down.
Over here.
Right. Okay. So you're in charge of pot.
That's, yes, which is a good thing.
That works. Yeah.
Okay. Because we're not in the new, although it looks like the new studios are just about ready to go.
It does.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Nice.
And the patio bar has been built. And I think it's actually opening this weekend.
Is it?
I hesitate to say that just because you never know what's going on. But anyway, so that's going on. 855-282.
Cool,
yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. 855-282-8255. The appliance discounter phone lines, 855-282-8255. That is how you can call in. And if you want to call in, please feel free to do so. And of course, you can text in 855-282-8255. So I know a lot of people want to, and understandably so, hear from... me and Doug and the Plowhawk and Iggy and the Sea Monster on the Cat, an article coming out in the Post Dispatch on Thursday afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. We had TMA Live presented by Bud Select that night, and so we weren't on the air live on Friday to discuss it. And I know that, you know, while we have, what is it now, like 5,900 or so people, give or take, 5,877, Doug, is the number of people who are on the TMA fan page.
All right.
And so I have been communicating there. I also realize there are a large number of people who listen to the show who don't have Facebook or aren't on the fan page or have been on the fan page and thought maybe it isn't necessarily for them. I think you fall into that.
Yeah, that would be my group.
Fall into that category. So with that all said, I realize some people are anxious to hear what Doug and I in particular have to say, since Doug and I have done the show with the Cat since September 15th, 2007. So 10 years. And the Cat and I have done it since July of 2004. And both Doug and I have known the Cat, I think, since like 2000. And the way that we have decided to handle it is, and I've said this on the fan page, is... if and when, and I don't know if and when, that's why I say if and or when, the Cat decides to say something, then we'll talk. But he hasn't said anything yet. So, you know, this is his story to tell. And so if he would like to talk, then we shall talk. But he hasn't said anything yet. Now, as you can imagine... we have been talking with him quite a bit, texting like the Dickens yesterday and on the phone quite a bit when he was in Pittsburgh this weekend. As I said on the fan page, so for those who are on the fan page, I recognize it's redundant. this podcast, which I've been talking about doing really since 2012, when we Joe Buck and I did a show for a week, and the plan was to do a podcast. I haven't been able to start, for the main reason being, since 2010, as the managing partner of Inside STL Enterprises, which owned and still does own the content of The Morning After, and also owned and operated programming on KFNS, and then later on CBS Sports 920, when we owned all 24 hours Monday through Friday, I haven't had a chance to have anything else to do other than, you know, run radio stations, which is not, to be clear, anything that I really ever wanted to do. It was done out of necessity. And that goes back to 1380 in 2009, when the general manager, who was a great guy, first-class guy, respected by everybody in the building, successful in the industry, and that carries a lot of weight in this business. He said, listen, we want to keep you guys, but we can't afford you. So at the time, I was being offered, we were at 1380, Doug, I was above a sex shop. I don't know if
I
you
remember
noticed
that.
That's
yeah.
kind of, I think that's where Bob Burns and Bob Brake used to do.
He wasn't anywhere close. They were at KMOX.
I felt like there was a sex toy shop on the floor below.
Yeah, I don't know that they frequented that place either. I did not. I walked past it. One time I was so appalled. I actually fell up the steps walking to the studio up there, just trying to gather myself. But we somehow survived, got through that.
No. Dick Ford went in there.
What was he doing there?
He got lost. He was going to Martin's show, and Martin used to do a weekly thing. Fox people would come in, and Dick Ford came in, and he was like 15 minutes late. First thing out of his mouth, I don't know what happened. I thought I walked into a dildo factory.
Clip that off.
I wish we had that dropped.
Hello. I'm leaving.
So that started, and I had an opportunity. I had to go to KFNS and do Afternoon Drive, but if I would have gone to Afternoon Drive, and it was a nice offer on the table, if I would have gone to Afternoon Drive, because Doug and the Cat's television responsibilities, it would have broken up the show. And the goal has always been, don't break up the show. Always. Still is. And so I turned it down, but the choice was own our own time and operate our own time from 7 to 10 to 1380 because they couldn't pay us anymore. So that's how everything came to fruition with me / Inside STL, of which I own the majority, but I'm not the sole owner of the company, operating radio programming from late 2009 until August 31st, 2016. So the background on everything, just so, because I realize I talk about it on the fan page, but like I said, I know a lot of people are not on the fan page who listen to the show, and I need to make sure that I try to include everybody in the discussion, is in late December, early January, I don't know exactly when it was. I know Anna Marie told me she was pregnant on December 27th because I couldn't forget that. In late December, early January, here, so 9 months ago or so, I was just beyond burnt out, comparable to when I was operating 920, hosting The Morning After, and doing the show with Jim Edmonds. So doing two shows and running a radio station, and I was on fumes. And it was to the point where I was thinking, I've got to step away from the show.
So you were fresh and ready to take on more
response? No. I said I was on fumes.
Okay.
And also the business model of what I thought we were going to do, which was pick up what we had done at 920 profitably, and just put it in place over at 590 when we made the move, was not the direction Randy Markell, the station owner, wanted to take. Which the thing that I always say, and I'll say it again, I said it last night on the fan page, is this. Anytime anybody wants to discuss the station or anything along those lines, I understand it. Oftentimes, just out of respect for privacy, I'm not going to get into it. There are some things that, you know, if I were operating it and somebody were out there doing or even liking or retweeting on Facebook, Twitter, whatever the case might be, that's not the way that I personally like to operate. That doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's just for me personally, it's not the way that I like to operate. But the thing that I will say, and I will say this publicly, is when it comes to the radio station, even though I had 25% ownership, what it needs to be made clear is that it's not, I didn't buy into the ownership of the radio station. Randy gave me 25% ownership of the radio station to, as part of my compensation package, to get this show over to 590 from 920, which then in turn he knew would bring Frank Cusimano, for example, as well. And of course, the entire crew of the morning after and the infrastructure that had been profitable for 3 years at 920. But Randy Markell, the owner of the station, is the only one putting dollars in. And he put in a bunch of money in 2016 to improve the 590 signal, to begin the process of building out brand new studios in a central location. You know, I mean, building new studios anywhere is expensive, but building new studios in a central location and the demo work that had to take place and everything, you know, I'm not putting in, for every dollar he puts in, I'm not putting in 25 cents. It's all him. And so, along those lines, if you can, you know, business owners who are listening, or, you know, you don't have to be a business owner to be able to relate to the whole premise. If you're the one putting in the dollars, then you certainly want to have input in the direction of the business. To me, that's, you know, that's absolutely fair. And so from that standpoint, Randy decided that he wanted to do things differently than what we had done at 920 and go out and hire talent as opposed to what we had done at 920, which is broker radio shows. So, for example, Doug the Cat were salaried. Frank Cusimano had his arrangement. And then everybody else, I guess the writer's block had a different arrangement. But the point is, almost all of the programming from, you know, the majority of the day, the vast majority of the day, did not cost Inside STL money. And so it was a lower expense model to make it work. And it did, and that's why it was profitable, and that's why we grew. And that's, what I was planning on implementing here. But then Randy, from my standpoint, to his credit, wanted to spend to bring in the best talent that he thought was out there to improve the radio station. And in doing so, then the radio station owns all of the inventory as opposed to either splitting revenue or splitting inventory. And I know I'm getting inside baseball, but the point is the business model changed substantially. And at that point, it became, quote unquote, what you would have at a real commercial radio station, as opposed to what we were doing at 920, which was brokering out time. And so at that point at 920, I was basically a landlord. People would come in and cut checks, and then they would own time. I didn't really have to run a whole radio station and run it at the expense level of what we now had at KFNS. And I said to Randy, like I said, in late December, in part because I knew that Anna Marie was pregnant, that wasn't public yet, and Randy didn't know that yet, and I knew we were probably going to have our hands full with the pregnancy, that I just needed to step away from operating the radio station. And it was in the best interests of the business to make it fire optimally to have somebody in at 8 in the morning to run the radio station, period. I mean, that would make sense anywhere, especially if you put in all these dollars. You want to try and get a return on your dollars. Having somebody come in at 10:30 or 11 after they've hosted a show for 3 hours isn't doing that. So at that point, that's when Randy hired or promoted Dave Green, who was our general sales manager. And then a couple of months later, Dave Green decided to take off, and he is now at an intercom station in Kansas City, 610, if I'm not mistaken. And John Hadley became the general manager, and that, I believe, took place in May. So that's the background as far as management goes, because I think there's still some people who, understandably, because I have for 7 years operated the radio station or the programming, and that's not, I haven't been doing it really for, I don't know, 9 months, I suppose. I want that to be, you know, clear. It's running me to the ground. I don't know what to say. It's running me to the ground. The whole situation in general is, I can't speak for the Plowhawk, Iggy, Doug, or Seamaster, but it's running, you know, it ran me into the ground big time, to the point that I'm like, I just can't keep doing this stuff anymore, especially if I'm going to be a father for the first time. And my wife and I had gone through so much just to get to the point of her being pregnant, much less to try and get through the pregnancy and then have the baby. And then if we do become fortunate enough to have a baby, to be a quality father. You know, I mean, I'm 40 years old. So that's the background on it. And as far as what has transpired over the last few days with the cat, like I said, he hasn't said anything yet publicly. So this is his story to tell. This is the radio station's story to tell. And by that, I mean, I'm talking about ownership management and Jim Hayes. Because, candidly, it's like I would call Doug and go, do you know this? And then Doug goes, nobody's called me and told me anything. And I'm kind of envious that you operate in the dark.
Yeah, yeah. Most of my life I've operated in the dark.
And, but I was a little surprised. And so, like I said, if Jim Hayes wants to talk and when he wants to talk, then at that point, then we will talk. But I don't know what his plans are. So that's how we're going to handle it. I recognize people may want to, you know, say things. I certainly understand speculation. It's the nature of the beast. It's what comes with having the kind of show that we have. The tough thing for me, personally, individually, is the show, and I think the show's success, in part, is because the show is so just like word vomit, which leads to the ADD radio, but it also leads to transparency. And so it's an awkward spot for the five of us to not necessarily be able to talk about a guy we love and wish was still sitting next to us. So that's the position for today. I don't know if the cat is going to talk today. Like I said, texted over the weekend, talked on Saturday, texted yesterday. Regarding the podcast that I started everything off with, this is something I've been talking about doing since 2012. And ideally, now that I am no longer operating the radio station, and now that I Anna Marie has had our baby, now we can finally start it, because I would have never had the time to start it while still operating the radio station, and I didn't want to start it until we were in the new studios. And so, because this is the podcast studio we're in now, this is what it was built for. So with that all said, the cat and I have been talking about him being a part of the podcast, whether it be the podcast I do, or if we do go the direction of having a quote-unquote network, I don't want to overstate it, but a few different podcasts all under the one umbrella, whether that be of Inside STL or a separate company of which I would be the majority owner. So point being that the cat and I have discussed that, and he could very well, that's where you could be hearing him soon. So there is what's going on. I realize I probably just babbled for about 20 minutes, but I know it's what people want to talk about. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that game in Pittsburgh yesterday was...
It wasn't that exciting. We just couldn't get anything going. But boy, if we can get hot, we can still win this baby.
Yeah. Mathematically, it's true.
Yeah.
The division is in play in the wild card now, 2.5 back. But that's the background. If people want to call in, if people want to text in, if people want to email in, they're welcome to do so. If you could, respect the unique position that we're in, if and when doing so. A number of people, I have a stack of them here printed out. I didn't anticipate this. Just whereas I'm public with my email, tmckernan@insidestl.com, I knew a bunch of people wanted to get messages to the cat. And I said, well, if you just want to email me, I can forward them to him. And I think it was, I don't want to call it emotional, because I don't think that would be the way that the cat would characterize it, but he was stunned. I wasn't really stunned, but he was stunned, legitimately stunned by the, because I just, every time I'd get one, I just forward him to him. You know, anytime I get an email, I respond, unless it's a guy that, you know, I know has some situations going on. But even if it's somebody hating, I respond with these, you know, just for the record, if you do email me, you know, I'm just forwarding to the cat. And sometimes I don't even read them. I just forward them to the cat. But he kept getting him. I mean, he's sitting there in Pittsburgh, and he's reading email after email after email. He's like, my God, I couldn't believe it. It was like they were writing about somebody other than myself. People love the guy. And, you know, understandably, they're reaching out. So, you know, that meant a lot to him. And if you would like to do that, I will continue to pass emails along because, like I said, I put my email address out there. And, you know, you can write a hell of a lot more via email than just, you know, sending a bunch of tweets. So tmckernan@insidestl.com is my email address. So there is my 20-minute soliloquy. But I want to, you know, I mean, like I said, we've been doing this for 13 years. Doug and I have been doing it with the cat for 10 years. 10 years to the month, nearly 10 years to the day. And the transparency of damn near everything, we share our lives with you, you share our lives, your lives with us, is what I think has built the radio show and allowed it to last as long as it has. And so it would be really disingenuous for me to come in here and lead off by talking about the Cardinals and the Pirates or Missouri and Auburn or, you know, the NFL protests yesterday when I know what people want to talk about. It's just, you know, until Jim Hayes says anything, then I don't know what we can say. Because when it gets down to it, I don't know all that's going on. So there it is.
So we're going to have people call in and give their thoughts on it? Or you want that to happen or no?
Well, I mean, for certain, people are welcome to email email tmckernan@insidestl.com so I can forward that to the cat. I don't know if the cat is up and listening. Doug, I know when you're off, you like to get up at 6:30 and make yourself a cup of hot chocolate and just settle in and listen
Cocoa.
To the show. Coco.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to be much good to you this morning, Tim.
What?
Lady Journalism had me up spinning sports and highlights till scores and highlights anyway, till 12:20 got off the air.
Nice.
Home about 01-ish.
Nice.
Sleep about 01:15-ish.
Nice.
So, no, I'm not going to be much good to you today. You're going to have to probably carry the presentation.
So, Timmy's by himself today.
Yeah.
I can't make it. I don't know what his last name is. I remember what his last name is. Cod? Is that what it is? I'm not familiar with him. Is it Cod? Cod? Is it pronounced Coo? It's pronounced Coo?
I think so. I think so.
I think I'm able to do that for the next 2 hours and 35 minutes.
And he probably got 10 hours of sleep.
Well, he may have.
Guys, if I was ever going to bang a guy besides Doug, it would be the cat. Thank you. That's a hipster Tagro. That's what.
Yeah, here. This is the show right there. This is the effect that it's had on people. They've turned.
Tim, will you also forward my love emails to Doug? Thank you. That's from Sean Mahoney's Dead Eyes. Yeah. See, so the.
Mm-hmm. This is all very emotional for these people. They're handling it well. I've never been more disappointed in a listening audience than I am hearing these two emails. Text, whatever they were.
Why would you say that?
What's that?
Why would you say that?
Well, they just don't seem to be understanding, really. But this is not the time or the place for that sort of behavior.
Let's see. Fred Astire, it's the Plowhawks guy. Everyone loves the cat. He seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Well, sure.
Tool Belt for Daddy. There's no business like show business. Like no business, I know. Is that Ethel Merman?
I believe it was, yeah. One of the cat's favorite songs.
I think she sang that on the movie Airplane, too.
I think she did.
In the hospital.
Yeah. In sick bay.
Super hot.
It wasn't really a hot scene, no. There were injured people down there. She was singing to them, I believe.
No, I think she was a patient.
All she wants. Well, okay.
Tim, I appreciate that. I'm gonna move on from the.
Yeah,
Apple
go
moment.
Ahead.
Right, I just feel like
it was a nice scene. Though.
It's just the intuition of doing this for a couple decades.
All right.
I appreciate what insight you gave on the fan pin this weekend and talking about it right now. And thank you for forwarding the emails. I was more than pleased to send one myself. So thank you for all of that, Tim. See, I was printing out the emails, and I have just a few of them here. And then we ran out of ink because I was printing out so many emails at home.
Do I have a printer here? That'll cost us $30 in toner.
Well, it'll be a write-off for me, my entity. Yeah, Plowhawks.
We have dual printers here.
Wow, double-headed.
Yep.
Huh.
How's maybe, so I can print from here.
All right. That ink is awfully expensive, but that's not really what we're talking about today. We shouldn't really worry about toner ink.
Who's going to tickle your leg now, Tim? I'll do it if you need me. That's from KG in O-Town.
All right, KG.
Doug, I know you're upset. Let me hold you.
I didn't need that comment.
Kind of provocative, though.
It wasn't really provocative. Insensitive would be more along the lines of the words that I would have chosen.
Well, you did a good job over the weekend because you're in a position where you can't really say a lot. But you said what you could of the people that were asking. I didn't even know that post was going on. I was at Neil Diamond and got up Sunday.
Neil Diamond was back in St. Louis?
Well, his tribute band was.
How was it? Good?
Yeah. I didn't stay for the whole show.
I saw it was sold out.
They played for 2 hours and 45 minutes, and I couldn't stay
Guns
for that.
Guns N' Roses didn't play for that long, and they had a long set.
I think they played every Neil Diamond song. It was amazing that I saw like 10 listeners came up and said, we love the show. And I didn't know we had that many listeners that like Neil Diamond, but the show sold out. But on Sunday, I started reading. I said, oh, my God, 693 replies. I missed all these. But you did the best you could on answering what people. And people are genuinely interested in the show and the people that are part of this show. That's why there's so many questions, and you did what you could.
And they want to hear from the cat. And that's the key thing. And so, you know, here's the thing. And this is the thing that I talked about on the fan page. The cat and Randy Markell, the station owner, we're going to get together today at, I don't know what time. I thought it was 1 p.m. perhaps. I don't know why that number is in my head. But so that was the plan because the Cardinals were out of town, as you know, in Cincinnati and then Pittsburgh. And the two of them wanted to get together face-to-face, one-on-one, and have a conversation. However, this wasn't the first time that they had tried to do this. It went back to the previous Thursday, whatever that date would be. I guess, Doug, I'm going to do the math on the fly here. Okay. The 14th, I think, perhaps. And then the cat forgot. They were going to meet at 2, and the cat forgot that they had the Cardinals had a day game. So he wasn't able to do it. And then they were going to get together this past Monday, a week ago, the 18th. And that was set up before the cat flew to Cincinnati. And that didn't happen because Randy forgot he had an engagement. So it wasn't a case of, you know, F you, okay. That's the thing. So things are being passed off that way, and I get it because nobody's saying anything. So understandably, you have people who care about the show, which is the best position you can be in, is somebody who's part of the show. But the worst position you can be in is they care and they want answers, and we don't know what to say. But I do want to provide that context. And so the reason why there was a rushed article, I suppose, is because someone... I guess I don't want to say someone because I know who, I'm just not going to name names, was intent on passing off, I don't want to call it like the story because it's not the story. It's an inaccuracy because there was more to the story. From our standpoint, I can speak to this, you know, if the cat was 100% out the door, why was he still on the opens? You know, so all of these things, the point is they were going to get together on Monday, and I still think they are, which is another reason why we're in this spot where I don't really know what to say just yet. And so I don't, like I said, I keep saying I don't know, but that's how we're respecting the product. I told Randy that I was on the phone with Randy on Thursday at least, and maybe Friday as well. And I said, you know, Doug and the cat, Doug and I, it's going to take some time getting used to not include the three, but also the Plowhawk and Iggy and the Sea Monster and Charlie. Certainly Charlie. Talk about an awkward spot. People are going to want to ask questions, and what would you like us to say at this point? Because you and Jim haven't had a chance to meet, which is a very important thing. And you can't meet unless you fly to Cincinnati or fly to Pittsburgh. So that was the whole plan. And so when that was posted on the fan page, one person posted it at 9:15 Wednesday, and I happened to see it and was able to delete it because I knew that Randy and the cat were meeting on Monday. And so I deleted it, but then another person or the same person, TBD on that, I understand there are screenshots and text messages that we could have access to, then used Larry Nickel as their vessel to post it on the fan page. later in the day, and I was away from the page at the time, so it was up there. And then what people see initially reported, even if you say, well, that's not really the whole story, they understandably then just, I mean, it's human nature. You think that that's the truth, and the genie doesn't go back in the bottle. And like I said, people can say they knew this, or I've heard this, or I ran into this person, and he told me this. Well, I am telling you something that I know that was not public. I think only the cat, Randy, and maybe myself, I don't know if you guys knew about it, we're going to meet when the cat got back from the road trip. So, you know, that's an important thing, which also conveys to you the following. There's not some form of monster hostility between the cat and Randy. And you know, you're not communicating and wanting to have a bunch of meetings if that's the case. So, like I said, until the cat says something, that's how we're gonna handle it. I hope that explains it. And I realize it probably didn't satisfy people, but
so it sounds like the situation is still fluid and nothing has been finalized.
I believe that they are getting together today, but that was always the plan.
Okay.
It's just the thing that got out. Well, not got out at that point. It was, you know, a discussion with the newspaper and a discussion with Jim Hayes as well. You know, it wasn't like that was done without the cat. The cat just didn't want to say anything. That's all. It's not like the cat was saying, oh, God, don't say anything. It's just he didn't know what to say until he got a chance to meet with Randy, which is, I think, happening today. I'm not 100% sure on that. So you're welcome to call in. You're welcome to text in 855-282-8255, or you can email in the morning after at InsideSTL. If you want to email the cat, Team McKernan, InsideSTL.com. Doug, I know you're fired up about Missouri and this game with Kentucky and Georgia.
Yeah, we got 2 weeks to get ready for the Wildcats.
And the Cardinals and how they are now in a position to win it all.
We got 7 days to take some batting practice, maybe score some runs. Come on, start hitting and score some runs. That's what I'm thinking.
But yesterday morning, a lot of people wanted to watch me play golf. Mm. Why'd you
make who?
A lot of people.
You went golfing somewhere, and there were people lined up on the fairways or at the tee box or just in the...
There was a gallery.
In the parking lot, hoping maybe finally you would sign.
I don't like to sign.
No, I know you don't.
But I played with Marcus Allen yesterday.
Of course. How the hell did that come up?
He wanted to play with me.
All right, he just gave you a little jingle. He got on the horn, gave you a little jingle, and said, hey, let's play, bro.
Does that surprise you?
Thank you, Iggy. Where's my...
Well, a little bit, yeah.
Shouldn't.
And I thought we were playing at a very, very good pace, a Wes Bryan kind of pace.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, in the foursome behind me, walking, no less, we were riding, was a gentleman by the name of Keith Walter Kachuk.
Oh, really?
And he joins us now, I understand, on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. And from what he was conveying by, if I'm not mistaken, yelling at me when I was getting ready to tee off on the sixth tee and he was approaching the fifth green, Doug, I don't think he was happy with pace of play.
Probably not.
Walter, is that an accurate...
That's the lighter version of it, yeah.
I mean, I thought we were playing at a hell of a pace, and all of a sudden, the next thing I hear is, "Hey, dirtbag, cut back on the practice swings."
Yeah, it's reasonable.
Only bad things can happen when you take that many practice swings. God, I mean, come on. And you're wearing pants. It was one of the hottest days around.
Pants shave 4 strokes off your game. You should know that.
And there was 2 holes open in front of you, too. That should be a sign right there, to speed up play.
How many practice swings were you taking?
I'm OCD, and so I take 15 practice
swings. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, but that shaves 3 strokes. So at this point, I've shaved 7 strokes with the pants and the 15 practice swings.
Well, what'd you think? It was a fun day, wasn't it?
Oh, it was playing slow?
It was incredible.
Besides us playing slow, it was Jason Day and Jordan Spieth in front of you. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Did you know Marcus Allen? Had you guys ever met? I'm sitting at the bar, and there's Keith Kachuk, a Hall of Famer, meeting with Marcus Allen, a Hall of Famer. And then, like, right after you left, there's Brett Hull. And I'm just like...
Yeah.
I mean, when you include you, Marcus Allen, Brett Hull, and me, I mean, that's star power.
This was a Tower T?
This was a Tower T.
Okay.
I love it. How'd you do out there yesterday?
How did you do first?
I told you, I was really good, 38 on the front, and I blew up in the back.
Did you?
So, typical. Yeah.
42-46 was my number, so I guess you get to take my bankroll, which will be a life-changing moment for you.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, the pants you wore really shaved off a lot of strokes, I guess.
Clip that off.
He was overdressed. Is that what you're saying?
I try to always wear pants. I pay homage to the game, Doug. Sam Snead wore pants.
It was 97 degrees yesterday. I respect the fact that you're trying to look nice, but it doesn't make you a good golfer. And it's certainly not going to make you feel comfortable on a hot day.
Yeah, I would think that's the case.
When we teed off, Doug, the dew was still glistening on your chest, and it was a little colder. And like I said, I pay homage to the greats, old Tom Morris, who won the British Open, I think, back-to-back years in 1860 and 1861, and he didn't wear shorts.
I don't believe he did. No, knickers, probably.
Right.
Well, at Tower T, there's no dress code. I've seen guys play topless at Tower T.
I think Hull went really out topless. Have. I think Hull later went out topless.
Well, Walter, did you pass him? Did you pass him on the sixth hole?
No,
he
kept berating us. And the best part is Tkachuk and the gentleman in his group all were walking, and we're in carts.
I know you have Robert Poor, who's a legend at the course, but I had a legendary foursome. So,
do you care to share who what made it so legendary? It looks like absolutely. There were some sticks. Guys came close to an ace on was that 13?
Well, Bob Frederick is a self-proclaimed great high school basketball player in the state of Missouri at the Smet.
And I was self-proclaimed.
Jay Godfrey, one of the best lawyers around, so, you know, I'm covered there. And then the legend, Bill Brennan.
Bill Brennan was out there, Doug. Mm-hmm.
Brenzy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Brenzy. So I had the foursome. We would have pounded you guys.
Bobby Magic's pretty damn good.
Oh, I know. He's one of the better players at the club, so yeah.
He's
well,
a stick,
he takes
Doug.
His time, he should be good.
Doug, this is the Jason Day Jordan Spieth group.
Don't say he's a stick anymore. I've heard that twice now. We don't need to talk like that. He's a stick. Did you just pick that?
He is.
Okay, yeah, well, let's stop.
What are you going to yell at Walt? I wouldn't yell at Walt.
How about he's a good player? He's a shot maker. I don't like to hear he's a stick.
Yes, he is.
I hate to be grumpy. But.
So did you know Marcus? Because Marcus and Hull clearly knew each other when Hull showed up. But do you know?
No. I'm a low key guy. But come on.
Wallflower.
I don't mingle with the stars like you do.
Well, I'm just a jock sniffer. I mean, that's kind
of. First of all, what was Marcus Allen doing in town?
He lives here.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's why I figured him and Hull had played at some point, because I think he plays with Ozzy quite a bit.
I think they play in that charity thing in Tahoe a few times together.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, he always plays in those things. You ever play in those things, Walter? You ever go out there and play?
I played in that years ago. I played in it. But
Mark Mulder always wins those things. Mark, you ever play with Mulder? He's apparently like...
He's a stick.
No. Yeah, Mulder's a stick.
He's a stick.
He's a stick, huh?
Stop it.
I told you, he's a stick.
I love it.
I walked up to Walter on the putting green yesterday. I said, let's play for our bankrolls. Let's just throw it out there.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like he had a little more risk than I did.
Probably so. You
right.
Know.
Yeah.
You're
right. Taking candy from a baby there, buddy.
Well, I think we ought to make it happen. I know it'd be an honor for you to get out on the golf course with me. And I'll promise that we get that round in under less than 5 hours.
Yeah, well, I'll even let you have Robert as a partner, and I'll grab a guy, and we'll have a little...
Yeah, but when you say you grab a guy, it might wind up being like Justin Thomas.
Well, I don't think so, but Robert's a pretty good player.
I know he is. You know what he is? He's a stick.
Okay. Enough of that.
I think you just named your foursome for the Lemmings Open. You, Bobby Magic, Walt, and Marcus Allen.
I'll grab Hully.
All right.
I'll grab Hully. Hully or Prongs.
Oh, I heard Pronger shot like one under there like a few days ago.
He's hitting the ball well. He hits it long, low, and long, baby.
Nice. That's good trajectory.
Still got a temper. Still got a temper on the.
Oh, does he lose it a little bit?
Oh yeah. Yep. Be careful.
When I saw you walking up the 16th fairway, it looked like you weren't in a good place mentally, and I don't know if that was because of your game or the foursome in front of you taking a little longer on the putting green.
Oh, I had a bad stretch. I just come off birdie on 15, so.
That's a good birdie, Doug. That's a tough hole. Yeah, no, is that the number two hole. Handicap, Doug?
I don't have it.
That's my
clue.
Favorite hole on the property.
They don't let me on that place.
Yeah. It's a tough hole.
It is a tough hole, Bill.
That's good.
All right, Walter. Well, it's good to hear from you, and I look forward to taking your bankroll.
Hey, sounds great, Dirtbag. Thanks a lot.
There you go.
All right.
Well, I'm telling you. I was thinking we were playing at a very good pace, and the next thing I know, I'm being berated in front of his
15 practice swing. Well, no, Sergio Garcia used to do that.
Did he? Did he?
He
do
used
that?
To have that little hitch in the swing. He'd go back like 15 times before he'd hit. Just hit it. Hit the ball.
Tim doesn't take that many practice.
I really
swings.
Don't.
No, of course he does.
Two practice swings up, and he's ready to hit.
Yeah, I like with my driver though. I just get up and hit it.
Yeah.
Usually, because of that club head speed, I don't want to risk an oblique.
There's not that much club head speed.
There's pretty much clubs.
He has a lot of
lost balls.
He has a lot of club head speed.
Oh, of course he does. The best. I'm sure he has the greatest club head speed.
No, Dustin Johnson does, but I'm second. Right. Not one lost ball yesterday, actually. Oh, and we played from the blacks. And I'm not talking about the things that get the STL Today commenters excited. I'm talking about the actual tees.
Those are the tips out there, aren't they?
No, they have the Ryder Cups.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, forget about that.
Yeah.
Old Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer playing from the Ryder Cups.
And then we still haven't mentioned the course. Are we not supposed to do that?
That was Old Warson.
Okay. Some people didn't know.
Well, with the Ryder Cup tees, where has there been a Ryder Cup in St. Louis?
A lot of people don't know where they played.
They had one at Ruth Park in, was that 53?
You think everybody in town knows the history of the Ryder Cup and where it's been played?
In St. Louis?
Pollock does,
yes.
No, they don't.
Pollock, you had one in Canton in 80.
I think it was 82.
Yep.
Yeah. My dad caddied for Nicklaus. It was a pretty
did
big
he?
Moment, yeah.
Wow.
I actually played, I did the J Junior strategy with no practice swings, just go up there confident.
How'd it work?
Six over, fired six
no,
over.
No, I actually played rather well. We played at a little place called Crane Creek.
Crane Creek.
Up there
I like alliteration.
Up there in Kilburn, Illinois.
What the hell is that?
It's like a farmer's market town. They have about 100.
I didn't know there were farmer's market towns.
They had about 100 people, but their main thing is they sell big pumpkins, gourds, and fruit. They have about 20 stands along, but to the left of that is a golf course.
Huh, I'm surprised that a golf course could stay in business in a town that small.
It was fun. I did the J Junior no practice swings.
And it worked for you.
And it worked.
Jay's a no practice swing guy?
I remember he did a couple times on those key shots that he needed to hit, but usually on his drives, he moved the driver once and then pounded it right down the center of the fairway.
Mm. He drops the club head. I'll tell you that. He drops that club head.
Doesn't everybody?
So maybe Walter Hall and Bobby Magic will get out there and play at Crane's Creek.
You guys would literally shoot four under. I mean, it was
easy course, is it?
Not a lot of trees, so it's pretty wide open. So
it's a links course.
Yeah, I guess.
I bet you get a lot of roll.
Mm. There is a lot, but
I had to guess.
Greens are very
right dirt path.
Yeah, the course opens when they're done picking the pumpkins, and they get all that out of the way. Then they open the course.
Ooh,
to
nice.
Play.
And Tim, if you want to play at Crane Creek, you're going to have to do that in about 2 weeks because they're closing October 18th.
For the harvest? For the harvest?
No,
season.
They're closing for good. They need 150 members for $1,000, and that's what they need.
Nice.
To stay open.
Why don't they just open it up public?
I don't know.
Not enough traffic.
Thanks for the shout out, Tim. That comes from the blacks from the STL Today comment section. Iggy, leave Doug alone about golf. You were the idiot who thought Rory McIlroy was bellied up at Cafe Napoli when he was 12. Thanks. That's from the 314.
Well, it was just misinformation on my part.
Doug, Tim made every putt he looked at yesterday. Marcus was impressed. That's from PGA Pro Dan.
What, he was there too?
PGA Pro Dan was.
You made every putt you looked at.
I wouldn't say every putt. But if I would have been doing stat tracking, but my golf is. If, by the way, can I do a PSA real quick?
Sure.
Anybody else who's using Golf Logics, the app, Iggy, do you use it?
I don't.
I don't know if something's wrong with it, but no matter what I do, it won't update like the course and the score, so I can't track my stats. Hmm. And I know a lot of people want to see like how many putts did you have and how many fairways you hit.
I don't know.
Did you miss left or right?
You think a lot of people are desperate for that information.
Yeah, I always post like, okay, here's a breakdown of my round. Let's start on number one. You know, unfortunately hit the ball well, but there was a branch overhanging right above the ladies' tees, and it knocked it down. So my second shot was from about 370 yards out. I then pulled the ball into the ninth fairway and nearly hit Marcus Allen, so we were off to a great start. Then I had to hit through the
okay.
Shot. What?
There's nothing more boring unless it's hearing someone talk about their own fantasy football or baseball.
Amari game. Cooper big night last night.
And hearing Southside everybody Seaman. Break down every shot they took on a course.
So then I took a little gap wedge, aggressive pin placement, championship pin positioning on Sunday, and just landed it over the bunker, and it rolled about, I'd say, what did you say, 9.5 feet?
I wasn't there.
And that left me with that putt for bogey, but unfortunately I didn't leave it high enough. As you know, all the putts roll toward Warson Road. and I left it on the low side, the amateur side, and had to take a double bogey out of the gate. Mm-hmm. But here we are now on number two. Let's take a look at number two.
We're going to do this for 18 holes, are we?
I think I want to do the front nine and the 7 o'clock hour, and then the back nine and the 9 o'clock hour to keep people listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get better at teasing. So too.
Right. So Bobby Magic says, yeah, you ought to hit a three wood here. But I'm just not, as you know, I'm not hitting my three wood. I've been pulling it. So I take out the driver. I saw PGA Pro Dan had the driver too. And I said, all right, we're going driver. Marcus had the driver. I'm like, hey, you won a Heisman Trophy. I didn't
do with his driver.
They don't hit it as far as you though.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure they don't. Yeah. Why would a Hall of Fame athlete, a football player at that, who plays a lot of golf, possibly hit a ball farther than Tim?
So yeah, no, you're right. I did ship my driver. And then God, was it a 9-iron? From about, I think it was, and I landed about 8 feet from the cup, and then I sank the birdie putt. So at that point now, I'm back to one over, and Marcus goes, you got a little game, pro. Called me pro.
Did he?
And I said, well, you saw me hit at you on number one from the ladies' tees on my second shot, so, you know, and he's played with Tiger, and he did say the club head speed, he did say Tiger's club head speed
a little bit better.
Is better. He did say that.
He did not.
Probably not now. Not now.
Who
I would say you're probably
better.
Who the
hell does he think
better.
He is?
I would take you over Tiger now.
Of course you would, JD.
Now, Tim, I'm on the Golf Logics Help Center.
What is going on with this app, Doug? Have you had problems?
No, I have one of the questions. App. When I download a course, all I see is a green screen. Is that what happens to you?
No, usually just like when I go to enter my scores, like the scorecard is clear, and then you enter your scores, and you can enter as much information about each hole on the property as you want. But for whatever reason, when I've been doing this here recently, it isn't updated, and then it opens up a scorecard, and it's not my scorecard, bro. It's not even the right course. So, because I know everybody's like, hey, post your scorecard, you know, tell us how you played.
Who says that? Who?
A lot of people do.
They don't.
Maybe that's how my playing partner last Tuesday was on Golf Tech, because his handicap went from a 9 to a 13 in about 4 days.
Whose did?
Mike, Jonathan Deal.
Uh-oh, it sounds like you're accusing the dealer of
foul play. He went from 9 to like a 13.4.
Now, hold on a second. You're saying before your match he was a 9, and then you played him, and he became a 13?
About a week ago, we were talking. He goes, I'm about a 9.6.
And then you played, and he became a 13?
Yeah.
That's a pretty serious charge, sir.
No, he did. I saw his scores, but he's been playing tough courses, playing like the tips from Aberdeen, and so I'm just kidding, Jonathan Deal.
Oh, my, Doug.
I'm kidding, buddy.
That could be a Thompson Coburn.
No, I told him.
That could be a Thompson Coburn.
I said, whatever your handicap is, just go ahead and figure it out. I trust you.
Not to brag, but I played Riverside with Craig. Never met him before. He claims to man a register at the High Ridge Walmart. Take that, Marcus Allen. Thanks. The cousin of Moo Man.
Right.
Doug, you know Craig?
No, but I have played Riverside. That's more along my speed.
I drove a green there one time with a putter.
Oh, you didn't? A putter?
Just whacked a putter down the fairway, and it rolled like 270 yards.
Sometimes the fairway is in such good conditions.
Par three, though, right?
No, it was a par four.
You didn't drive a par four with a putter.
I was very close. The ball just ran forever because there's no grass.
Tim, I had the same issue with Golf Logics on Friday. Showed all the holes as being par threes.
Wow.
Well, why don't you just look at the scorecard, and why don't you use your own eyes and say, okay, I think I know what club to hit here. I think I know about how
far
it is.
No, I know that.
And just play the hole!
But I want to see, like, okay, I missed, you know, I only missed like five putts each round. But of those five, did I miss them left? Did I miss them right? Did I miss them short? Did I miss them long? Let me tell you, you saw the stimp meter yesterday, didn't you?
I didn't.
I think it was running out at around 14. Was that what it was?
I don't know.
So you're going to miss putts. You're going to miss them long. And I missed them long. But you know what I would do? I'd still have 20 feet left after I would blow it right by the hole.
You'd make a little comebacker.
20 feet ain't little, baby.
You putted it 20 feet too long?
Yes. That happened a couple times. It's a different situation.
Yeah, when you're used to playing like 8 on the stimp meter and you get to 14.
Yeah, Doug, you got to look at your stimp meter, bro. Okay,
I don't have a stimp meter.
Tim, any chance you could start wearing a GoPro when you play so we all kind of get a feeling for what it's like to be great?
Lord.
It's from the wild of Whisker Biscuit. Doug, I played Ruth Park this week, and to be fair... it's in good condition, but I was on the lookout for fivesomes. That's Craig, the CPA. Yeah, they do. You're on the. You're ready to tee off, and all of a sudden, a
fivesome. Well, as long as it's quick,
a stray joins you.
We were playing our match last Tuesday, and there was nobody in front of us. We had the whole pretty much course in front of us, We make the turn, we get to 10, and there's five people just going out to the fairway. And I asked Jay, I said, what the hell is this? He goes, that happens all the time. They just show up and start playing.
Right in the middle of a hole.
I guess they just went straight to 10. There's five people out in the fairway. I said, well, we can't have this. Go get them out of there.
Oh.
And then Cletus went up there and got rid of them.
Doug, why the F would you play back tees as a nine? Thanks. That's from Hulk Hogan's fanny pack. Who played back tees as a nine?
The guy Iggy played.
But I thought in the fan pin thing that we played, Jay and I played the whites.
Yeah, we played the whites. But he played.
So where is this coming from?
From the courses he was playing.
Because Hulk Hogan's fanny pack is really mad.
Well, the courses he was playing prior to our match.
I think he was playing.
He played the tips at Aberdeen. I think he played the tips someplace else.
Doug, why would he play the tips as a nine? That's the question.
That's a big question.
So the point, what Hulk Hogan's fanny pack is saying is maybe he was trying to get his handicap up before your match.
Well, I'm not going to say that.
Well, Hulk Hogan's fanny pack just did.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
And this guy wound up beating you by, what, one hole on your tournament?
I missed about a four-footer on 18 to win, and he beat me on the 19th hole. That's my own fault.
Only because he jacked up his handicap.
No.
On purpose.
No. I just sucked. That's what happened.
But you were like six up.
I was five up through seven, yeah. And then he parred like seven of the next eight holes.
Doug, talking about your golf is horrible radio. Thanks for 417.
Yeah, I know.
Let's get us over to number three now.
Oh, jeez.
Let's take a look at number three. Well, we're playing the blacks today, as you know. And, it's uphill a little bit. Wind in our face. There's a hawk up there.
You like my favorite hole in the property.
Okay. Stop this.
And so it looks like it's about 208, 209 to the pin. I'm going to take out a four hybrid and try and get it up there through the wind and uphill and see what we can do. Let's take a look. Oh, he's pulled it.
Up and down?
Very difficult second shot, as you know. And not a lot of green to work with that back pin positioning. So going over the hole and now a bunker in between me and the pin, I'm going to bring out the 60. Oh, and he's
again,
gone past the
I'm
hole.
Enjoying the show.
Okay. Thank you, base burglar.
Yeah, and then on those greens, you go in expecting a three putt. And so I three putted and took my five, and now we're on our. So there's your double bogey, birdie, double bogey.
Just 15 holes left to go on this.
Well, we got plenty of time.
Right. Guys, in England, fanny is a word for female naughty parts. Thank you. It's from Timmy Tom Tom.
Why would he feel the need to tell us that?
People just have observations.
All right.
Tim. I know you like to play great courses. Have you ever played Briarwood in DeSoto? The greens are all brown and hole number three is shut down due to a mole issue. But the pond is drained on the hole so you can search for as many balls as you can.
I like that.
In the hard dirt. Thanks. That's some painter.
That sounds like my kind of course.
That brings up a funny thing at Crane Creek. There was that.
Crane Creek.
The hole wasn't shut down.
I want to start building some Crane Creek merchandise.
I feel bad for that property because it's about to be shut down in a couple weeks. But they had two guys out on, I think it was like the eighth or ninth, and they were trying to find this mole because you could see even on the tees, there is just lumps of dirt scattered around like the outside of the fairway and sometimes in some parts just in the center of the fairway, just huge dirt lumps. Right. So there were guys actually hunting a ground squirrel or a groundhog. They didn't shut down the hole yet, but it was pretty bad.
In Minnesota, there's a gopher problem on a lot of courses. There really is. There's gophers running everywhere, and it's not uncommon to hit a ball in the fairway, and it's not there when you get there.
The gopher takes the ball.
No, it goes into one of the holes. It goes into a little gopher hole, and you're afraid if you put your hand down there to get the ball, you know, there's going to be a rodent bite, and you're going to pull back a stump.
But can't you put a tube in there, and then it goes in your ass? Or is that a gerbil?
Yeah, gerbils like that.
What?
Well, they don't like it, but it's an offer they can't refuse.
I'm talking a golf ball landing in the gopher.
People get gerbils
hole.
And gophers confused.
It's true, Doug.
I don't know if there's a problem with gerbils on the golf course, but there is a problem with gophers.
Doug, when you get to DeSoto and you drive by Briarwood, make sure you look for the pins and the flags because otherwise you would never think it's a golf course.
I don't believe I've ever been to DeSoto.
Home of the Dragons, am I right?
I think so. I've never been there. How far is that away from here?
Yeah, we had to get down there.
Is that an hour
do a
away?
Remote?
Is it that far?
We do a show from Briarwood.
See what the word is. Yeah, if we can't get on Belle Reve, we'll do Briarwood.
I don't play dog tracks.
If Don't say dog trash.
Hearing Tim talk about his golf outing has given me an erection. Hearing Doug talk has eliminated my erection. Thank you, said Panda. Kind of people updating us on there.
All right. Yeah, didn't need that at all.
Doug, I saw Marv Albert over at Triple Lakes this weekend. He was topless. Thanks. Peter Dinklage's third leg.
Well, with Marv, you never know because he's
he could be wearing like a nightie.
Scandalous, yeah. He likes to bite people? Is that what he did?
Allegedly, I think. I think we have to say allegedly on that. Design Air Heating and Cooling has over 75 HVAC technicians, so they always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train on the other side of our commercial break. Ben Fredrickson will be joining us to talk about the Cardinals and Missouri. Good football teams. Those college teams are really good. What are you going to do this year? Pretty big things, huh?
Mm-hmm. Boy, he was right on the money there. Right on the money.
The Barry Odom post-game press conference has, like, divided people.
Well, it's like he was scolding the media.
So, but I want to play it and kind of get people's perspective on it. So we'll talk to Ben. We'll talk to TJ Moe, brought to you by Joe Bacardi's. Ben, brought to you by 314 Sports. Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Our next TMA Live is on October 26th in Webster Groves. Come on by. The water is warm. Hot Shots, email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Hot Shots, voted the number one sports bar by readers of the Riverfront Times at one of their 11 area locations today. And right now, with only 5 shows left here in the month of September, the hipster of Tower Grove South and Misty Plops are tied with 4 wins. Wow.
That is so exciting.
That's like no pennant race throughout every division and wild card in baseball. Like, everything's clinched. The American League's even clinched. I mean, it's not clinched, but it's basically clinched.
Except that second wild card spot.
Yeah, but I mean, the Twins are like 4.5 up on...
No, I mean for the Nationals.
Yeah, that's about it. And that's a stretch for both the Brewers and the Cardinals. Maybe the Cubs will be in shutter-down mode.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Ben Zober said they wanted to clinch in St. Louis.
Yeah, they would like to dance around the infield here, I think.
Design Air Heating and Cooling, the sponsor of the program. Doug, the Cat, and I are all Design Air customers. Schedule your fall furnace check today at 314-739-1600. 314-739-1600 or online at designairservice.com. If you're in the market for a new furnace, be like Doug and make your house more comfortable than you ever imagined. Again, that's 314-739-1600 or designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. We'll take a break. Come back with Ben Fredrickson on the Cardinals and on Missouri next in the Ryan Kelly Morning After.